new friends wish tonight in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, again as we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth, thankful that we can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and know that the dimensions of spirit and spiritual planes surround us, and thou art closer to us even than men may perceive. Thankful that you have assured us that you would be with us even unto the end of this age, and knowing that as children of thy spirit, guided by thy spirit, that the mind of thy presence is made open to thy children to seek thy face. Thankful, our Father, that this great nation, which is part of our heritage, is a great nation of thy kingdom with great destiny to play in these hours. And praying as children of thy household that you shall help thy children to cleanse this nation of all leadership that is not worthy of the responsibility of leading this nation of thy kingdom. Awaken thy people from their sleep. Cause them to know as the watchman speaks upon the walls that it is later than they think. And grant our Father with the awakening and the illumination of thy household that they shall seek to mix thy kingdom with earth and cast out upon the earth an unsatisfactory product. We pray that thy standard shall be lifted up upon the mountains. The nations shall know that thou art God. Grant unto us a clear and abiding precept of that which is thy purpose. Cause us to understand for what purpose you have set us into the world and what our task and responsibility is. Grant unto us the vision of understanding that only perfect peace which comes from thee is because our minds are steadfastly fixed upon thy purpose. Grant our Father the vision of the victory of thy kingdom. Cause us to resist the enemy that he might flee from us, to bind the darkness and destroy evil. We pray our Father as we meditate upon these conditions of world crisis and conditions through which we pass, we might thoroughly understand the great challenge that exists for us here in this great nation. Cause us also to know what time it is in relationship to thy purpose, to lift up thy standards, to awaken thy people, that we might see great victory. Grant unto us abiding assurance that these things will come to pass because thou hast ordained it. Cause us to understand the purposes which you have in eliminating from thy nations and thy kingdom the forces of evil. Teach us, our Father, the difference between thy kingdom and the world order. Grant unto us a realization that you have established us to stay. As we commit ourselves to thy hand, again we say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In thy name we ask it. Amen. This hour in which we live, with the mighty challenges which are before us, I think it most significant and important that we know what we are here for, who we are, where we're going. Probably the most important thing in the world for the accomplishment of any historical fact is to know where you're going. Some people are always worried about what the masses think. The most important thing is, does leadership know where it's going? I point out to you that God has a blueprint and a plan, and because we believe God, we believe this plan will come to pass. We well realize that people all over the nation are disturbed, especially this week, as another bastion of resistance against communism goes through revolution. Whereas we have mentioned this in the other two services of this weekend, we again call it to your attention tonight that you might see how far-reaching is the hand, the invisible force and satanic power that works against the nations of God's kingdom, that hates most of all that carries the name of Christian, and is determined to break, if possible, any Christian leadership anywhere in the world. So what's transpired this week in the Diem family and in the Bittman factor is a part of the conspiracy of Antichrist, the powers of darkness and the forces of evil. We don't wish to be continually moving into an area of repetition, but when such an earth-moving impact takes place, as what took place this week in the areas of Bittman where we're engaged in warfare, where some 15 to 16,000 American troops or more are engaged in fighting communism, then what happens in that country is important to us, especially when the cockatrice's den spawns from our own nation. We point out to you that in the events that have taken place in the last few days, Americans can be ashamed that we have the kind of leadership we have that permitted this thing to happen. I point out to you that we are a great nation of God's kingdom. We are the mighty nation of the outstretched wings of the eagle that God's raised up for a prophetic destiny, and we're going to fulfill that destiny irrespective of what God has to eliminate to see we do it. We point out to you in this instance what our objectives are. These are the objectives of the kingdom. Someone said the other day, what is it that the Christian church really teaches? What do you believe? What is it that you have as an objective? Well, that no one be in darkness on this matter, let me tell you what it is.
It is to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, over which He shall reign forever and ever. Till every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim that Christ is God, and until every man of every race recognizes that this white race and its Christian nations are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Someone said that's white supremacy. You better believe it's white supremacy. The other day I listened to one of these BB brain clergymen trying to tell the world that the thing that we must face today, the most dangerous trend in our time, is the rise of racism. Well, it depends on what you call racism. The kind of racism I see coming out of Washington, D.C. is a very deadly thing. It would mongrelize, integrate, and destroy your race. The President of the United States had the audacity to tell the press the other day that we must mix socially, racially, ethnically, and geographically. This means the total destruction from nation to race to even the divine edicts of God and His law. And I'm going to tell the President of the United States in these words that we shall not mix ethnically, geographically, racially, nor socially, because God hath willed that we are not, and the power of heaven will see that this shall not be. In summation of what transpired inside of the DM regime overthrow, let's just make this plain. Buddhism hates Christianity. Buddhism threw the forces of Buddhism to turn the Buddhists in China against Kaishek because he was a Christian, crying, "Away with the white devils, away with the white devil religion. Buddhists must be communists because it's the will of Buddha." And it threw masses of Buddhists against Kaishek. Inside of the DM regime, though this man was of another branch of the Christian faith, who theologically we don't totally concur with, but the fact remains that he spent his life trying to win his people to Christianity. He had been educated at Mary Knowles Seminary in New Jersey and was going into the priesthood and the ministry when he saw the challenge of communism and felt he should lead his people in this area first. Was able to win 20% of his nation to Christianity. Now let's make this clear tonight. Any white Christian nation on the face of the earth, which is a part of God's kingdom, should be happy when the strangers or the sons of the strangers come to our faith and embrace our God. This is a part of our program because the nation of God's kingdom is God's house and it's a house of prayer unto all peoples. There is a vast distinction between our proclamation of the one and only true God and the concept that we have to integrate or intermarry with these peoples of lesser order when they come to the faith. I point out to you that your race are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're begotten of His Spirit before the world was framed. Have been begotten the flesh of the Adamic household since the world was framed, which Adam was the son of God according to the last verse of the third chapter of the book of Mark. Let me point out to you that in the book of Luke, where it talks about the genealogy of Christ, it traces Him back to Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. A divine race with a divine destiny, a spiritual seed, which God not only promised to restore, whose spiritual consciousness He promised to renew, which race He promised to elevate for a ministration over the earth to defeat Lucifer, who rebelled because he wouldn't acknowledge that you were the sons and daughters of God, said, "I'll not show it." But the purpose of the Most High God is to bring in His kingdom. You are the best and most important part of God's program, and that was the establishing of His sons from heaven to earth, occupying the physical world to build His kingdom, to grow and expand, to build nations, to overthrow the darkness, to liberate the world. And in the pattern of your fall, which He also prophesied before the foundation of the world, when He wrote your names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, the Eternal Father said, "I will become embodied in the earth. I'll redeem you, I'll justify you, for I predestinated you're going to conform to my image." Now to the majesty of such a proclamation, as Paul said, God became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the mystery of godliness. And I point out to you that you who can say our Father which art in heaven are His kinsmen. Then again, that great mystery, the second chapter of Hebrews, He had not taken upon Himself a strange form, but took upon Himself a body of flesh that He might be like His kinsmen, because now the children of God were in bodies of flesh. I challenge you to realize that we have a program that's not acceptable to any part of Satan's kingdom. This is a program which God ordained from the beginning that's not acceptable to any politician that takes his orders from the world order. This program is the utter subjection of all the world, not to autocracy, but to theocracy. I point out to you that within this such a pattern, that God has a program of absolute victory. Of course, whenever there is authority, and it's on the Christian side, it's always eschewed as anti-social, not democratic, and must be cast out. But whether it's satanic dictatorship, strange how these apologizers want to acquiesce and find coexistent policies with it. The world today is moving under a strange trend. It's a trend of dictatorship. Strange dictatorship first raising its ugly head and spawned in the Red Revolution. The first challenging power of dictatorship came with the Antichrist dictatorship that warred on the church, that was packed with the administration of Jewry from Das Kapital out of Karl Marx to the conspiratory level of their control tonight. These satanic and evil forces that moved out of the Red Empire spread out over the earth to form red dictatorships anywhere. Whenever a man rose to power by the challenging conditions inside of his nation and had to establish in order to fight these red roads of conspiracy an authoritarian government to a degree, though granting many times more freedom to his people than they'd had for centuries because of the evil, then this was called dictatorship too. And how the world eschewed dictatorship when Mussolini rose to break the power of Jewry inside of Italy. My, how they denounced him. They even had preachers saying this with the Antichrist. When Hitler rose inside of Germany, he was a byproduct of communist revolution, satanic Jew conspiracy, and a people that raised up behind this man to defend themselves. You have heard how dictatorships are challenged. And we in this country have been raised under a system of representative government, a great republic, not a democracy, a house of God, and a great nation of time. But I tell you, in all this course of time, we were told by propagandists we must hate every dictatorship that rose, and then we had to accept that everything was a dictatorship they said was a dictatorship. Now, I point out that we have one basic responsibility, and that's to resist and prepare to destroy every anti-Christian power that rises in the world. When we get in wars, we have only one thing to do, and that's win them. But it's a sad thing when we get in wars with our own race and our own people and fight the area that doesn't fight the church. With world communism, we have a continual battle from the very beginning. From its earliest inception, it was the power of darkness born by the sons of Satan with a design to destroy the civilization and culture of which you were a part. It was designed by conspiracy at every educational level, in every area of communications, to try to give a guilt complex to the people of God's kingdom, to try to order their thinking until they would mutate their society, until they would integrate their nation, until they would fuse their bloods, until they would surrender their liberties. All this is within the pattern of prophecy because the dragon, with the spawn of his own seed, has been seeking this operation. If you turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, where it talks about this great nation which is given the great wings of an eagle, why? Because the dragon is casting out the seed of the dragon like waters of a flood to try to swallow you up. These unassimilatable dragon seed make your trouble. This nation has too many of them advising the President of the United States, and of course he's not too bright, and the result is that we're in trouble. Now listen. When we say the kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ, this blueprint overthrows all witch doctors, all superstition, all heathen, all pagan temples. Now, I don't blame Buddhists for being against us as long as they serve Satan, who has provided the priesthood of their darkness. I don't blame the enemy for being against us, and their being against us doesn't in any way persuade me that we should change the course. I want you to know that in the instance of what happened in Vietnam, the Buddhists wanted to overthrow a Christian administration family that already influenced 20% of the people. I want you to know that in seeking to do this, they are not interested in any ideological battle or struggle between the West or communism, or whether communism sweeps their country. Strange as it might seem, they again were the very centers of treason. I just want to clarify this for those that will hear this tape that may not have heard Fridays or Sundays across the nation, throughout the world. Listen. They caught Buddhist priests transporting machine guns, equipment, radio equipment, and spies and operators under canvas-topped wagons and carts going to Buddhist monasteries. And when the elite corps of the DM government, which was a Christian army upon which he could depend for his own security and for the family, was ordered by him then to search these temples, they discovered inside of these temples and these Buddhist monasteries that they were spy centers and headquarters for the enemy. And they did the intelligent thing. He just then blocked his power. He arrested those that were in complicity with it. And we heard persecution of religion. Before this revolution became a historical fact, we had aircraft carriers and transports headed there to remove Americans about something we knew nothing. August 25th of this year, Everard Morrow's Voice of America, which you pay for as a propaganda broadcast to the nations of the world, called on the peoples of the Viet Minh government to overthrow the Diem regime. August 25th. This is complicity, my friends, with your tax money. The Foreign Service under Mr. Rusk was true to form, for Rusk was a part of that conspiracy that helped to overthrow Kaishek, and now, though he says he made a mistake when he wanted his confirmation as Secretary of State, under his administration, this thing happens with all the intelligent operations of the CIA. Do you mean to tell me that our investigative Army security didn't know anything about this, though we were training these men for use with our equipment, and it was our equipment and our material that was used to overthrow their regime? While Life magazine and Time were showing pictures of burning monks who, as a part of their satanic program, cared nothing about life because of that strange loss of evaluation of life, that same fanaticism which devils have everywhere, and I want you to know most pagan priests are sons of Lucifer out of a satanic line and have gone into their occupation by nature. When Christ cast devils out of a man, they wanted to get in the swine, go drown themselves because they didn't care anything about life anyhow. They wanted to get back to their own place and get back in business. They didn't want to be disembodied. I'm not a bit worried about how many, as I've said over and over again, of the Buddhist monks or the pagan priests throw gasoline on themselves and light the match. I think this would be the most successful area of Lend-Lease we ever entered into if we supply all devil priests everywhere with gasoline and matches. Be far more practical than waiting for them to burn in some hell way out tomorrow when they could burn so easily today. Every time Buddhism folded up and Christianity became stronger, every Christian nation should have rejoiced, and America should have said, it's fine that Christianity is replacing communism among these people. And Buddhism was the betrayer. All right, revolution took place. Our government said we have no responsibility in it. We had nothing to do with it. Didn't even know it was going to happen. I think too much of apples to say applesauce. But I tell you, my friends, that this was 100% an evil concoction, because within no question about what was transpiring, we're already within 48 hours willing to recognize the new government. Though that government pursued yesterday morning the leader, the premier, and the virtual president of the DM government into the church, drew him out, stabbed him and shot him, tried to tell the world he committed suicide. Now, you know he didn't commit suicide. Roman Catholics do not commit suicide. Especially when you're in the fatalistic humor of an Asiatic who knows that his life is always in danger, and the most he can do is die anyhow, so he don't have to worry about shooting himself when they're about to kill him. So the great Kennedy administration, leading a great nation of the free world, permitted a Christian ally to die, and then will recognize one of doubtful character, for any pagan is of doubtful character. But yesterday afternoon and today, Buddhist troops of the Viet Minh pursued the elite corps and killed them everywhere they found them. You know what that means? That means the Buddhists are now suppressing Christianity and killing loyal Christian soldiers. I haven't heard anybody getting excited about this. I doubt if in Life magazine they show the Buddhists killing the Christians next week. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. The wave power of communism will take Viet Minh. We'll move down the peninsula, we'll throw out its pronged attack, we'll reopen the Korean War, we'll outflank Japan, we'll move against the Philippines, and the entire Pacific will move into a flame of being a Chinese and communist sea. Then the hordes from the dark and from the red flanks of attack will move against the Christian nations of the world, and Fortress America will be fighting for its life. This prophecy inevitably is a part of the gathering the hordes from all over the earth. And the sons of strangers and strangers that came to recognize your God through your missionary activity are liquidated or are destroyed. Thus, in this hour, we see the trend. When we look at communist dictatorships rising, expanding, watch the steady march that communism has made since the end of World War II. We can see the satanic strategy in which the enemies of Jesus Christ manipulated America into being an ally of communism and caused us to fight our own race to please international Jewry. Within the course of this same strategy, we started down this road of error when, under the deception of advisors and under the deception of the Soviet Union, Franklin Delano Roosevelt recognized the government of the Antichrist in officially recognizing the Soviet Union. And if we allowed him any dubious area of manipulation on the basis of what they promised, in the short 2 years that followed, they broke every covenant and every promise, and intelligent leadership would have repudiated Soviet Russia in its recognition and downgraded it as an outcast among all the nations of the free world. The pattern which we watch is increasing dictatorship. Consummation of World War II, we see the powers of Antichrist, the forces of darkness now over many nations that were once allies of Christian society, were Christian in their background. Romania and Hungary, Poland under the yoke of world communism, Slavic peoples of the house of Zebulon under the heel of the Antichrist, Issachar, little Finland, a great nation of the house of Israel, and under the control of the Antichrist. One half of Judah, Germany, of the house to the eastward of the marching standards, and half of it under the control of the powers of Antichrist. And we see it stealthily reaching out for the nations of Europe. We see communist power rising inside of France. We see a challenge now to break up by their infiltration all of Italy. We see Simeon and Gad under threat. Though Simeon has been, who the Spanish people are identified as they are tonight, Simeon has been under Mr. Franco. Oh yes, terrible thing. He's a dictator. You know, the only reason why it's terrible is that he's authoritarian in that he has rules and regulations to protect Spain from both communism and Jews. You can't tell me that if he was really hurting the peoples of Spain, that they'd leave him loose. I point out to you that on every open front today, communism is at war. We have watched the creation of the Cuban state of world communism, the Castro government, openly identified with the Soviet Union. We have watched administrations that have lacked the courage to carry out the Monroe Doctrine of the responsibility because of their advisors. I make no apology for saying that I consider the advisors and the thinking of Mr. Eisenhower equally as deadly as I consider the thinking of the present Mr. JFK. I am well aware that Mr. Eisenhower did nothing to stop the execution of innocent German officers charged with the Katyn massacre when the facts of Secret Service proved they were guiltless and that all the Jew attorneys in the advocate branch of the service had framed the entire evidence as afterwards it was proven, for they had been sentenced on false and framed evidence. I am aware in carrying out these objectives that nothing was done to stop the rape of Stuttgart when Negroes in American uniforms were turned loose on German women. The head of Antichrist with all of its evil was there. The absolute implacable hatred of the forces of communism and Jewry and anti-Christianity against any area where they have been curbed in their free hand. Some say, well, we don't want to accept this. This could be propaganda. Let's take a look at America. Here as the rising hand of Antichrist and the sons of Lucifer gained more influence until their numbers as advisors were too many around presidents. Until their influence in the international areas of economy, which had been working for 300 or more years, now demonstrated their vast manipulation and their power. It was quite obvious that in this country, their influence for the selection of advisors and the appointments of power were most obvious. And here in America, we have watched something strange happen. A dictatorship rises up inside of Cuba. Mr. Eisenhower doesn't smash it, though it's a violation of the Monroe Doctrine and it's in our backyard. Mr. Kennedy guarantees its lease of life, for in his visits with Mr. Khrushchev, a representative force of Antichrist, and by his assurances in supposedly buying the removal of missiles, which have not yet left, he guaranteed that we would protect communism in Cuba by not permitting any American countries to evade or touch the integrity of a communist government. I tell you that the administration which we now have in power has guaranteed the perpetuity of a dictatorial bombshell in our own backyard. The program for the seizing of all Latin America in communist dictatorships is underway. A time schedule starting between the 1st and the 19th of December calls for the overthrow of Mexico by communist forces, the sealing of the border. I suppose then we'll unleash them the launching ramps to zero in their missiles upon our cities. In the instance of this hour, we have found not one successful maneuver carried out to completion to defeat communism. When under the magnificent leadership of General Douglas MacArthur, we had Red Chinese and communists on the run inside of Korea, when we could have had a permanent victory there and then moved with Kai-shek for the liberation of China, we had little men in the White House that removed great generals because they couldn't stand up to the pressure of victory and because the powers of darkness whispered in their ears. I point out to you that we have not won one great basic victory that has been carried out under the execution of our armed forces because the mystery of darkness would not let us. The only area where there has been a basic and major defeat of communism for the period since the war is in Greece, which was the result of your investment and your assistance, but I point out to you that they're seeking to turn over this victory to an area of error by international manipulation. We may hear about the great strength and the striking power that we have in the West. We have watched the establishment and the building of vast, fast-moving, mobilized units of mechanized cavalry, infantry, and airborne troops. We look out over some 6 regiments or divisions. The design is to remove them from Europe now. Oh, yes, we're more mobile now. We take to the air. We can fly 15,000 men and get them over in 4 days. But Germany was worried. Nations of Europe were worried when they heard this. There was a tumult among the nations. You say, why? Because they realized the striking power of Arsenal America. They understood that the strength of its fighting ability and its equipment was vital. Its mobility was vital. But if we were depending on saving Europe with airborne troops and removing the armies that would have to be there in the hour of impact, then this meant disaster and a surety of coming conflict. You say, why is that? Because, my friends, if the Reds decided to push into Berlin or to cross from East Germany to West Germany inside of an hour, inside of 4 hours, they'd be deep into the heart of Germany. 4 days it takes to transport 15,000 men and their equipment from a fort in America to the landing strips of Germany. Have you ever tried to land on enemy-held aircraft strips? Do you suppose 4 days after the war started that we'd have a place to land, that we could come down through the ACDAC and aircraft and missile fire? Do you suppose, my friend, that you'd save Germany, getting there 4 days after the Reds violate the law, cross the borders and take it? Germany understands this. So does JFK. No, we're not going to remove the troops, we said, and already the program is now announcing that this was just a camouflage. We are planning on massive troop withdrawal. You say, what is this all about? It's because you are preparing and the stage is being set and invisible forces are at work seeking to devastate the power of the kingdom. It's not going to be successful because there's going to be a lot of strange faces in power in America and a lot of missing faces before you're through. I point out that some startling things have transpired. It's sad enough when we see communist dictatorships rising up all over the world. So I say, well, what about benevolent Christian dictatorships that suppress pagans? Generally, my friends, if you have any military authority to defend a country against an enemy and it's Christian, then it's downgraded. But I point out that the thing that is most startling is this trend towards dictatorship, the dictatorship of the Antichrist, the dictatorship who follows the policies of Karl Marx and goes the way of the enemy. I can read these words in the book of Revelation, in which it makes it very clear concerning this satanic conspiracy and this power. It tells me, as concerning this power, that one of the processes that we see are these hordes of the darkness that have the symbol of the leopard. This is the 13th chapter of Revelation, the 2nd verse. It says that I saw it was like unto the leopard, his feet were like the feet of the bear, his mouth like the mouth of the lion. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. He says, what is that? This is the sum total of all the pagan, non-white race kingdoms that raise up to fight the kingdom of God out of Daniel and Revelation. And Satan gave him his power. And it says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was now healed, and the world wondered after the beast. This is what Jesus refers to as the seventh threat to Christian world and to his kingdom, and then it diminishes, and the eighth comes out of the seventh, its deadly wound having been healed. When world Jewry gathered the hordes of Genghis Khan and took this ignorant Mongol raider and developed and guided him with Shoi Pei Noyan, a Chinese Jewish advisor, and they gathered 40 more of the clans of the desert, and they went out and opened the doors of Baghdad and Samarkand and the cities of Asia with their Jewish traders, opening the doors to let them in at night until the city fell before they knew they were invaded. The resulting pattern was that this horde of world communism, or at that time the hordes of the Genghis Khan people, were then hurled against Christian Europe. Where here the great Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic peoples live. Where the great house of God's kingdom, the Adamic race at its height and purity, the peoples of Israel were residing. Jewry hated this because they were the false contender. They were the abomination of the desolator. They wanted its destruction. They wanted to share with their Asiatic minions the spoil of Europe. The hordes of Genghis Khan came, the seventh threat to your race. From Egypt to Assyria to Babylon to Medo-Persia, Greece and Rome, great powers came. Christ listed these powers, but the seventh which came was the hordes of Genghis Khan. The eighth was to come out of the seventh. And this again is the sum total of these powers here described. The leopard, the bear, the lion, and the dragon gave him his power, satanic force. I want you to know that the seed which comes out of the dragon's mouth like a flood to swallow you up is none other than the vast household of Lucifer and his many children. Jesus tells you who they are and said they were of their father the devil. They were the generation of the serpent and the viper. And here in the 12th chapter of Revelation tells me that Satan is that dragon, that old serpent, and his children, who some people think are the chosen people, are actually Satan's flood. Now listen. In this declaration, then I saw his head, and I saw the one that was wounded as an eye unto death, and the deadly wound was healed. For the dragon had given him his power. Thus it was that with the philosophy of Karl Marx to politically unite these people with the financial power, the Kuhn-Loben companies, the Warburgs, the Jacob Schiff's, we saw Jewish Finn's finance come along, and the seed of the dragon built communism, gathered the same hordes of all these empires that were against the kingdom, and then started back to hurl them against Christian civilization to take over first the world. And I show you that it says that people worship the dragon that gave power to the beast. They worship Satan with their false religions and all that his like. He said, who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? I'll tell you who's able to make war with him. The white race of the sons of God. Say, it doesn't look like we're able to make war with him. Well, you've got to get Christians with intelligence and power. You've got to take every Jew out of power. You've got to retake America for Christ and for your Constitution. And then all you've got to do is slap down the devil. I read about the trend in this time of these rulers in Asia, puppet dictatorships, Sukarnos and Changs and Maos, to rule their hour with the beast. There are many who say there isn't any real beast, but I want you to know that the political philosophies and satanic programs of many antichrists always find some to move into positions of power. Some say we take over all the world. No, but there are a lot of people that don't belong inside America that look and wonder after the beast. I think one of the most pitiful hours in America's history is when President Eisenhower rode down Pennsylvania Avenue with Khrushchev alongside while policemen suppressed the picket signs of Christian Americans who denounced the Antichrist on American soil. Thank God for that one skywriter that put the cross in the sky telling Khrushchev to go home. I may disagree sometimes with some of the things they say, but I always have to admit that the mayors of Los Angeles do sometimes have some catalyzation of spunk that comes from all you people. Well, it was a Los Angeles mayor that called Khrushchev while the rest of the world was bowing before him that he wasn't going to bury us, but we'd bury him if he didn't stop his program. The other day, it was the mayor of Los Angeles that had the courage to wire the president of the United States and said, you better invite Madam New to Washington and give her a respectful hearing. The first lady of the Bittman has a right to a respectful hearing, as we'd expect the first lady of America to be treated there. This woman has something to say, and you better let her say it. Well, I think Mayor Yorty spoke more truth and won more friends with that statement than any statement he ever made. And while this was going on, Bittman was about to be overthrown. Well, you see, Mr. Kennedy didn't know anything about this. Mr. McNamara didn't know anything about this. It was just an accident that our aircraft carriers were speeding in. It was just an accident we'd put 15,000 men in Saigon around our own embassy. It was just an accident. The same kind of accident that Mrs. Roosevelt let out of the bag when she said Franklin was playing with his stamp collection, Harry Hopkins was at the piano, I was knitting, we were waiting for the news that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. That was her one mistake. That was on Vox Pop, We the People, that she made that statement broadcast. Yes, because the Morgenthau Gang wanted us in war, created the conditions for it, that they might destroy their enemies in Europe under the guise of a full declaration. And when we're in a war, we have to win it. And there is not one iota among patriotic and Christian Americans of disloyalty to our country, but there is a deep sense of sadness that Satan's evil power was permitted to intervene in our life, to throw Christian against Christian, when we should have joined with the Christian nations of Europe and the Anglo-Saxon Germanic people should have crushed communism and liberated the world. But I'm going to tell you something. To stick the house of Joseph, which are the Anglo-Saxon peoples, the great United States of America and the British Empire, and the great house of Judah, which is Germany and her Germanic allies of the house of Central Europe, are going to become one mighty stick in my hand. And when they get through clubbing communism, it's going to be a free world. Every once in a while, someone said, I think we should have a clear statement. What are the objectives? What do you believe in? What are you for? This is what we're for. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, suppose they don't want that, then we'll make them bow the knee. Now, there are a lot of silly evangelists running around. They want to go over there and persuade these people to make a choice they don't have any spiritual capacity to make. They want to go over there and think that one great big evangelistic sweep through the country, whether it's a Billy Graham or some other one of these phonies of our time, it's not the answer. Because they come back and tell us how wonderful they were treated over there, and all the time, all they got is into a mockery show while Christians are suppressed and the design is its destruction. After all, I'm not so sure about any spiritual intuition among some of these who proclaim that they're the ministers of God's kingdom, and they come back and tell us that Nkrumah of Ghana was the greatest Christian they ever met. Or stand back and talk about the wonderful progress of Kenyatta, the Mau Mau witch doctor who got his doctorate in Oxford writing on witchcraft, of which he was the master. Listen. The trend of this world are the powers of darkness that will rule their hour with the beast. Someone said this is a terrifying picture. No, it isn't. Because we are not predicated in survival or strength upon the numbers of our enemies, or upon their world order, or upon their United Nations conspiracy, or upon their traps. Our destiny is utterly predicated upon the rock Christ sees as a kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and a victorious awakening of the sons and daughters of God as a great invisible empire of spirit challenges the people of this nation for victory. Now let me show you something. You have never in all time of history saw anything that was quite like what you face in America today. We have watched the portfolios of government being passed in the hands of President Roosevelt under the emergencies of fighting economic problems and depression, manipulated by the same international money changers that turned depressions on and off, and when they wanted to destroy Germany, all of a sudden the depression was all over. They turned loose this paper money. Prosperity was at work. War factories started to put out weapons. And the Jews turned depressions on and off at will. From depression to every factory in motion, everybody employed, in a matter of 3 months' time when the Jews turned the money on. Say, they'll have another depression. No, my friends, you'll never give America another depression because we know who did it. There's been a lot of scientific progress since World War II. There's a lot of more effective ways than were used in World War II to destroy evil. Listen. We have watched dictatorial power and special edicts as portfolios of government were passed in the hands of the presidents of the last few administrations. But never have we watched so bold a program advised by satanic designs to disarm America and to create dictatorship as has happened in your time. A utterly lawless government disavowing all areas of constitutional law, a government of liberty and freedom passing into a dictatorship while the people sleep. We called your attention to United States News 2 weeks ago. The words of the past president of the Bar Association, who made a very intelligent speech and statement. I want to quote to you what John C. Scatterfield, who was the past president last year of the Bar Association, said. Never in the history of nations governed by elected individuals has the head of any state demanded and created such naked, untrampled power as is woven in and embodied in the so-called Civil Rights Act, except when that state is upon the verge of becoming a dictatorship, unquote. And under this act, the power to establish and to take over automatically, just like that with dictatorship, is several titles. Absolute federal control of every local, state, and national election. Title II, regulate every private business and establishment in the United States. Number III, control by federal government, state and local governments in the educational field, couple forum, desegregation of public schools in the South, complete elimination of racial imbalance in all schools. Title IV, establish a mediation agency at the taxpayer's expense to meddle in all local affairs of the community. Title V, extend the life of Civil Rights Commission. Title VI, invest horrendous powers in the president to withdraw all aid from every government program, including aid to the blind, the dependent children, to the sick or the aged. Title VII, establish a commission on unequal employment and conquer virtually with unlimited powers, confer virtually unlimited powers upon the president. Now, there's being added to that the power to meddle in every phase of American life with signed decrees for the disarmament of American citizens in all local police departments, and then conferring the power to establish a police force that is separated from all branches of the armed services to take over. Then you have all of the sequence of the formation of dictatorship. Dictatorship that might be as seriously disastrous for you as Castro over Cuba or Castro over the United States. In fact, I think maybe Kennedy over the United States is more dangerous for us than Castro over the United States. Because if Castro came in, we'd shoot him right away. I want to point out to you that in this nation, from Executive Order 10-10995 to Executive Orders 110051, that the President of the United States has, by just dictatorial decree, given unto himself power to take over all communications, all electric power, petroleum, gas, fuels, minerals, take over all food resources and farms, method of transportation, highways, seaports, mobilization of civilians into workforces, move them out of their homes, destroy their homes, or integrate them or to transfer them, take over health, welfare, and education, to control all areas of communication in the mails, register every person in the United States, take over all airports and aircraft, take over all housing and finance, take over all railroads and inland waterways, and then take over all economy, eliminate all dividend payments out of all areas of income from stocks and from bonds and from business. You want to know what this is? This is a totalitarian, a dictatorship with even more power than Mr. Khrushchev has tonight. You say, what is it all about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's just that which precedes a mighty tumult over the mountains. The nations are in tumult. The nations are mountains of prophecy. And these mountains are nations, have a great tumultuous noise. Behold, I stop and listen in the world tonight, and I hear from one end to the other a tumultuous noise. And here in the United States, I hear a great tumult. Someone said, oh, it's that terrible right wing, but God bless them, they're going to save America.
me tell you something. If every right-wing leadership from Robert Welch right on down to all of the state rights groups, every other branch in these United States, from the DARs and from the Veterans Organization, if every right-wing patriotic group just decided to clean the Jews out and stand together, they'd save America in 30 days. The weakest part is one son of Satan inside the areas of opposition. All right, you have a dictatorial program all set up. Someone said, America looks like it's going that way. We're not all acquiescing. I have a clipping out of the Los Angeles Times this week. It was in collaboration with Mr. Khrushchev. The President of the United States is planning on a joint United States program with the Soviet Union of Education. But when I look at some of the programs and curriculums in grammar schools and high schools, it looks like they started it several years ago. When I look at the Iowa tests, when I look at the depravity that takes place in schools, when I see the animal-like instincts of integrated Negroes and how now they function even in the Lutz and the Compton schools and areas where they never were suppressed, suddenly they turn to the savage. They follow the Kenyatta policy. They reject all patterns of law, and they can't even establish moral standards in the schools. And the limp expression of education is that we're only here to instruct them. We can't affect their lives or suppress the little darlings. Let me tell you something. We don't want any part of Soviet education. We just want to ship all the Jews back to Russia. We have teachers in our schools now and let them enjoy their own kind of education. Someone said over there that we're making a lot of progress in education. I don't doubt it. When I look at those they've sent over here, if they have these people outside the country, they're bound to make progress. Someone said this is a great exchange program. We're going to send our students and our teachers and our instructors over to Russia. They're going to send theirs over here. We're all going to get along. That means our education will go down, theirs will go up. And I listen to some sad person worried about the fact that Americans play baseball and football and waste their time while they're in college. He says over in the Soviet Union, they don't waste any time on this. They're just working day and night. They have become just machines of science and mathematics. Well, maybe they became machines of mathematics and science, but my friends, they have to get a lot of know-how and assembly line technique, and they got to spy out our land, and they got to discover what our poor mutton-headed students that play football and baseball find out. Someone said we don't have it. My friends, all we don't have is we don't give our students the benefit of what they could do if they were given good instruction. We don't want robots. We don't want machines. We don't want men without joy, without pleasure, without youth. But what we do want is a background of Christian intelligent Americanism. We don't want any other religion having any influence over our education. Someone said we must stand for equality of all religions. We must work out a program where all religions are allocated in our school or none. We must work out a plan where Christ and Christianity is restored to our schools, and if the others don't like it, then go back home. Your Christian Defense League, your CDL, has already started with its pressure. Great numbers of citizens notified have been calling Trillingham, and they've been calling Hahn, and have been bringing pressure on their various offices. Unprecedented waves of pressure came on the Santa Monica School Board, the supervisors, and though the Anti-Defamation League denied this, Satan's seed like a flood tried to stamp out recognition of Christ and Christmas in the city of Los Angeles and throughout all Los Angeles. The impact is just beginning. When we get through, we're going to make them sorry they ever put their finger on anything that touches the name of Christ. The city of Santa Monica says we'll restore religious tracts and literature to our parks. They'll not stop them. We'll have Christian pageantry. We'll have the tableaus. We're going to sing carols there. In fact, Supervisor Hobbs says we're going to keep on singing carols here. And even Mr. Trillingham's office is beginning to say that they're not going to let this thing be suppressed. Somebody said, yes, we're going to have a total observance, Christmas and a Hakana life. When we get through, it's going to be Christmas and no Hakana life. Someone says, how's this going to happen? Wait and see. Let me tell you that, just lest we forget, that these people who want to stamp Christ out of Christmas, who want to stamp any celebration in merrymaking, which is a historic festival for a people of joy because Christ was born,
I'm not going to argue about the date or the time. The only important thing is we have a great festivity, a mighty, happy, gift-giving session because we celebrate the fact that Christ was born. We instill this in our children. We raise it up as a part of our tradition. And I want you to know that in an hour when the enemy says that this shall not be observed, and then they use their brainwashed Supreme Court to back up this decision, it's time that Americans said not one particle of American income, not a cent, shall be spent in Jewish stores. This should make them happy. They wouldn't want to be touched by this filthy lucre out of the goyim's pocket spent in their store for goods for a festivity they don't approve of. I'm sure they should be totally happy to sell Hakana gifts to their own kind. I want you to know that every Christian businessman in America would be tickled to death to have Christians spend all their money with him. And if this ever happens, and it should happen this year, Christians will become economically as strong as our adversary, and we'll throw the adversary out by creating United States banks interest-free, and we'll build a system they can't compete with. And someday, somewhere, somebody might read the newspaper on a far planet about the terrible gas ovens that were built in America. How they all died down here. You know, any time you cut off the power of Jew money, they're dead. All those that were burned up in the gas ovens of Europe were walking the streets of Los Angeles, New York, and down in Mexico City, Rio de Janeiro. They are the most active ghosts the world has ever seen. But not next time. See, if you didn't clap, they're a little worried about that. I'm going to tell you something about my father. My father's got a special squad just for this task. He said he has. Yes, my father's got a special task. You say, who is your father? The Eternal Yahweh. He's my father. Got a special squad for this task. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friends, no SS troops in the world are as effective as this special squad. They're just one segment of Michael's army. And when they get through, there's not going to be one tear that they've missed. Someone said, well, what's going to happen? No, I'm not interested in what happens to them. There's a place far out in space where they'll not bother us ever again, where they'll be placed for the time being. God's got an educational system that has never been equaled for educating them. Someone says, we can't stand for that. That's terrible. I can't think of anything better than putting people in the hands of God. Can you? All right, the design is here. Design is to subordinate this great nation of the kingdom under the powers of darkness. You say, well, Kennedy is an Irishman. After all, he's also part of the white race, and he's not a pagan, my friends. He is a proselyte of the enemy because he's in the hands and the tools of advisors that he selected that are satanically designing the destruction of our nation. I'm more ashamed of a white man that becomes the tool of the enemy than I would be if they got Goldwater in. Someone said, he's going to save America. No, he's not going to save America because it's not going to be permitted. He wouldn't save America. He'd deliver you over to the Canaanites, lock, stock, and barrel. Bad enough being sold out by jackasses without the Republican Party selling you out. You're in a world of upheaval, of tumult, and of trouble. Now, I think it's important, again, that you get the objective. The objective is the supremacy of God's kingdom, of men with vision, with understanding, that have the technology, the know-how, the guidance to put the world into a proper balance, of people that will establish civilization and culture, that will roll back all of the horses of darkness and of famine. Of the 3.5 billion people on the face of the earth tonight, half of them have never been fed properly. Did you know that? And in 1/5 of the world's population, the 1/6 where the Christian nations are, we've got so much food we don't know what to do with it. Our silly fools are trying to give it to the enemy. Someone said, this is unfair. It's not equal distribution. There's not supposed to be an equal distribution between the sons of God and devils. The devils aren't supposed to fare well in the kingdom of God.
People have always been saying, why did the heathen prosper? They're not prospering so well.
Somebody was the other day was telling me how he was persecuted, how he was suppressed. I said, in what area is your personal suppression? He says, look at the terrible taxation. Yes, I said, all you got to do is take back the government. Well, he said, I think it's about time God came to my rescue. I think it's about time we heard from God in this matter. We're suppressed. And he climbed back in his Thunderbird and drove away.
Did you ever stop to think with all the Antichrist conspiracy we put up with, we haven't missed any meals and we haven't had to walk? Don't tell me God's abandoned us. He's just trying to shake us good to get the rest of our blessings.
Oh, we're persecuted. You know they're trying. Every once in a while I hear some patriot moaning about how he's been persecuted. Moaning about his enemies, and I'm proud of my enemies. Persecuted. My friends, if this is persecution, I'm willing to fight this way till Jesus comes and never complain. Let me point out something to you tonight. The people that stand for truth, that love America, that love Christ, love God, and want to see a Christian government, are the best friends, the best associates, and the best people you ever knew. I wouldn't trade the people in this auditorium tonight for all of this brainwashed gang that are partying tonight under Jew control in all Hollywood. Now, we're not narrow. We are the children of joy. We are the children of Jasper, but we like our own kind. You know, one of these days, you're going to pull the blinders off of a great mass of white Americans. They're going to see the light, and there's going to be a great seething standard of righteous anger. And I'm going to tell you there won't be jets enough, there's ships leaving enough to take care of all the people that are going to want a passport out of the United States. I don't think we should bother with the passport. Just let them go. Just write them a check for everything they've got. Pay them off with their own funny colored paper. And then go on a God standard of jet sets and weights and measures. Let them play with it where they're going. Someone said, oh, this is wishful thinking. Don't you believe it? This is the prophetic authority of God's word. It's going to be that way in this great nation of God's kingdom. It's going to be that way in every Christian nation before it's over. Someone said it's not popular. Let me tell you something. These tapes are going to the end of the world. All you have to do is come up and see the staff of workers, the wheels of tape recording equipment, professionally and finely made, to see the mail coming in from all over the world, to watch them go, to know that 2.5 million people are going to listen to this message before we've gone through very many days, to know it'll be reproduced and multiplied by the thousands in Europe to go into 5 languages, to know that this is spreading. It's a miracle that God has produced and your faith is supported. Now let me show you something here. We get a chance to find out what they think about it in Australia, what they think about it in Germany, what they think about it in Norway, Sweden. This is not fair for war. They said it sets us free. It's great hope. It's the best thing we ever heard. We can put this thing together. God puts it together. I'm not telling you some theory that I'd like to put in effect. I'm telling you what God says I'm going to do. It's not a theory. It's tomorrow's history. Just in this instance, I want you to know that you may not be weeks away from an attempted abortive attempt to crush America. Even Mr. Nixon came out to say you're very, very close to a great and deadly war right now. I point out to you, there's a corridor across Siberia for a red Chinese attack across the ice. You've already surrendered your right to use nuclear weapons to defend yourself on that ice, which was your major defense. I point out to you that the design is to speedily move with all their design and conspiracy to destroy you. And more than that, to this power of the beast, there was given unto him a great sword. And he stole your secrets and he produced his nuclear weapons too. Now let's turn in this declaration and see what God has to say about this hour.
Over here in the book of Isaiah it says that the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up like a man of war. He shall raise his cry. The mighty roar shall be against all the enemies of his kingdom. I point out to you then that Isaiah makes the statement, now for the burden that's going to fall on Babylon. Now Isaiah makes this declaration. I have commanded my sanctified one, says the Most High. They're the set apart ones. He said, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. That's you. Do you know anybody else but Christians that rejoice in the highness of God? God says, I predestinated them, I called them, I'm bringing forth my mighty one. Now listen. And there's a noise of a multitude in the mountains, the great nations. And like a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations gathered together. And the Lord of hosts mustered the host for the battle. Now, my friends, God's hosts come from a far country, from the ends of heaven. And the weapons of his indignation are now to destroy the whole world order. Now, that has nothing to do with Christian nations. It's this whole world order. And if the world order tries to rise up inside of your country, even by this sneak way that it's trying to do it here, it's doomed. Listen. This dictatorial authority placed on the Federal Register by the decree of Mr. Kennedy and his little brother at the behest of Juarez, while at the same time autocratically setting up areas of authority for your disarmament. Did you know that on the 15th of October, the President of the United States appointed Mr. Nixon as Secretary of the Navy? Mr. Nixon, who's working on the disarmament of America and who's book, the Federal Council of Churches of Christ, which is actually Satan's stronghold, published on the Christian's responsibility of changing the world, calls for the abandonment of all our weapons, just turn them over to the United Nations and show the world we have faith. Now, can you imagine taking a knuckle-headed pacifist that serves Satan and comes out of the background of darkness and making Secretary of the Navy? Whose Navy? This is the kind of appointment we get in our time. I never knew a administration that appointed as many people that knew nothing about what they were doing as this one has. I don't want to be repetitious again, but just this week, the President of the United States appointed Dr. Warren, a great physicist who understands nuclear radiation and a great scientist who's retiring, wants to devote the rest of his life to this field. And the President told him in Washington, I've just appointed you to head this mental retardation investigation and research, and the Congress is going to appoint $660 million for this, and I've just appointed you to come and take this job. Well, he said, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about neurology. I don't know anything about this area of response. I know nothing about mental health. I'm a physicist. You better get a competent psychiatrist, doctors, and somebody who knows something about it. The President says, you come to Washington, you're going to get it. So he flew to Washington in obedience to the President's summons to say, I don't want it. Sergeant Shriver and his wife meet him and said, now, we're glad you're going to come and take this, Dr. Warren. Dr. Warren says, I don't know anything about it. They said, nobody knows anything about anything, Peace Corps or anything else, so it's all right. The President says, I'm glad you come. You're going to take it. He says, I'm not going to take it. He says, I don't know anything about it. He says, nobody tells me what they're going to do. You're going to take it, Dr. Warren. He says, I don't know anything about it. He says, well, most medical doctors don't know anything about it either. Nobody knows anything about it, so just as good as they are. So, my friend, you take a physicist to do a medical job, and then you take a plumber somewhere and put him on the Supreme Court. No, there's no aspersions against Dr. Warren. He's a brilliant, intelligent scientist. They took him in and said, you've got to have a car now because it's status. Pick out your car. You have a Continental, a Cadillac. You can have a Lincoln. You can have a Curio. You have anything you want. Just pick it out. He says, I don't want a car. He says, I don't have a use for them. I don't want a car. I just ride the taxi cabs. Never mind. Well, you said you're on the government staff. You've got to have one. So they just picked him out a Continental and a chauffeur. And he drove away with a car with a job he didn't want to do something you don't know anything about. That's the story, my friend, of the inadequacy of communism. All right. But there's a noise and a tumult, and I hear this great noise of the multitude, the noise of the kingdoms of the nations, and they're coming together for a what? For a battle. God says, I've called my sanctified ones, mighty ones, I raised them up in the earth. I've already pledged that I'm going to unify my people, and now I'm going to bring the mighty hosts of heaven in.
And it says, out of the four corners of heavens come my ministering spirits, the great host, the mighty space fleet, the mighty conquering power of the power of Michael comes in to join you. Then we start gathering the tares out first, and that's going to be a great day. There's going to be a morning, my friends, here in these United States, right in the midst of all this conspiracy, when you come down here in Hollywood, it's going to look like it's vacated. There's coming a day when in his kingdom, in his field, he's going to pluck up every tare. I like those words. Jesus said, every plant my Father did not plant is going to be plucked up by its roots. Now don't weep and moan like you weep and moan for the Buddhist priests. Just thank God they're gone. Someone said the other day that the government's trying to turn loose federal investigation of every true patriot and charge them with disloyalty. Disloyalty to what? We love America, we love this flag, we despise communism, and we are never going to make peace with it if the knuckleheads in Washington do. Someone said we can't survive long. We only have to survive long enough to live forever. Say, how does that mean? I mean, it's not very long before reinforcements are coming in. Someone said that if God's going to take it over, we don't have anything to do. You're going to have to do a lot to hang on. Above all things, to have power, intelligence, and understanding enough to stand in these evil days. And I said, stand. We told you this afternoon, don't let the enemy interpret peace. Because the peace God gives you is not as the world gives peace. It's peace of knowing you're on the right side, taking a stand for truth. Not peace, my friends, with the enemy against whom you are to wage war. Someone said, is there no formula for peace of the earth? Yes. Let Russia break its sword. Let it acknowledge the Christ. Let it open its doors to Christianity. Let it fold up its suppression of Christians. And let it withdraw from all the areas it holds with suppression. You know, if we had leadership that understood the Word of God, we'd give one ultimatum to the Soviet Union. Get out of Europe right now. If you don't start getting out, we'll destroy your homeland. You turn to the book of Esdras and see what God says about that. Why, we turn their cities to powder and dust. When we clean up a scourge by God's law, we finish it. Someone said, oh, that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing for the enemies of God that hold all the world in superstitious, satanic tyranny. For the day of the Lord is not anticipated. I point out to you, that one of these days, a great white robe company are going to walk the streets of America, and the enemy is going to say, we failed. Someone said, you're talking about the Klan? Yes, the biggest one that God ever organized. Someone said, there's a tremendous activity on foot. Enemy reports that an insurgency force is being created. You know what God's doing? He's just waking up Christians everywhere. And when they lift up the standard of Christ, that dips the Kennedy standard and they call it insurgency. The government of the United States is preparing the largest airplane contract with 600 power off air motors, aerojet motors, turbojets made by the Garrett Corporation in Phoenix for counterinsurgency warfare to fight you, the citizens. They only were making one mistake. The boys in that Air Force are sons and daughters of their father. In this nation that has enjoyed peace within its borders, has never had a basic assault of an enemy from the outside except the infiltration within, that has accepted its constitutional rights and privileges and its religious freedoms, that now sees by order and decree a threat to all these areas of activity. So even religious broadcasts are curtailed in any of their broadcasts outside of America if it's anti-communist, because now we find our own government says they want to accommodate the communists as well as the churches, but they'll not permit an anti-communist broadcast to go outside of American borders.
That's why a lot of preachers are going outside of America to broadcast back to America. Now listen. There's a tumult among the mountains. You heard tumult this week. Tumult rises all around. And there isn't any peace even out of the programs of acquiescence to the enemy. The enemy's been stepping up hostility while continuing to talk, disarm it, surrender of weapons, and peace when there isn't any peace. Strange as it may seem to you tonight, this program of the beast takes over the world order, but is not dedicated to take over God's kingdom. Someone said the nations of this world become under the control and power of the Antichrist, but the nations of the kingdom don't. One-third of the peoples and nations of the kingdom feel the heel of this beast. And that's already happened behind the Iron Curtain. America's great destiny is going to be by a divine deliverance, setting you free, raising up leadership. Someone said it can't be done. We're in the hands of the enemy. Why, the death angel can move out of Michael's fleets and clean America in 24-hour period. You can wake up in one morning and find that the whole deck was cleared for the action of God's leadership. And I want you to know tonight that if I was taking my advice from the Schlesingers and the Morgenthaus and the Baruchs, and I was taking my advice from those that are the advisors of the left-wing forces, and if I was being influenced by the decisions of the Council of Foreign Relations, and if I was receiving a Gromyko and the representatives of the Kremlin, and was whining and dining Khrushchev and Tito, I would be worried about whether I would wake tomorrow. They better start thinking. Someone said it's dangerous if any religious institution threatens anybody in high power. We're not threatening anybody. We tell you God's already decided that he's going to remove the hindering influence and charge America with leadership that will set it free. That's what I like about even these life appointments. It's only for as long as they live. And I remember the words of God that the plagues that descended upon Egypt can come again. And the death angel that walked through the house of Egypt can walk through the areas where they would hold my people in bondage. Not in the hour when the image of the beast speaks, when the television screen carries you the events of the world from the four corners of the earth. New satellites move through the sky that will carry a television message to every corner of the world. Nothing will happen within the next 2 years that you'll not see it in any television screen anywhere on the face of the earth. The image of the beast can speak inside your house. But the children of the kingdom know the image of the beast and don't look in wonder. They lift up their eyes from whence cometh their strength, and then they fight like they had to do it all by themselves, and they have a peace of mind because they know God's going to help them do it. And this pleases the Father. I want you to know that when the tumult which is gathering among the nations and on the inside moves, God says, I call my sanctified ones. That means set apart. That's not some holy Joe on a hatchet. Somebody tried to tell me what one of the sanctified one was. He just had nothing to do with anybody. He never laughed, never smiled, sat around here, and just had his eyes folded with a halo standing out, see? I never saw a halo on any of these so-called holiness sanctified people that can't get their hands in the program and can't set their feet to do the work of God. All these cloud nine revelations and visions are not worth a snap of your finger if they can't translate into action. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know who gives preachers more trouble than anything else? People that just got a special revelation from a flying saucer or from somebody that's supposed to have some special message on cloud nine that says we're not to resist, we're just to make peace. The other day, one of those silly rays came down out of some Satan lair to tell a whole conference of people that gods and the masters want them to get together right now with the Russians before they blew the earth up. Now, I can tell you that's a lie. God doesn't want you to get together with the Russians. He's frowning right now on Washington for as far as they've walked with the enemy. Two can't walk together unless they're agreed. If you're agreed with the devil, then you're not in agreement with God. So I point out to you tonight that in this hour of your greatest challenge, in this hour where they would disarm you, in this hour where you're surrounded, where there's tumult and upheaval, God says, my sons empowered have more strength than all the hosts of the enemy put together. Think I'm going to forsake my son? Think I'm going to permit the overthrow of my kingdom? Just turn around and read this story. And then get the vision and work for it.